Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Luke and chapter 2. Would you do that? Luke and chapter 2. I want to preach on what Christmas is really all about. There's a blue line up here. It's for the Sunday school play tonight, obviously. It's a blue line. It stretches from there all the way across to here. Pastor Bill, I'm standing here, and Pastor Bill walks up to me and said in my ear, make sure you know where the puck is. You don't want to be offside. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? And I looked down and saw, oh, the blue line. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. So I've got the puck right here, and it came over in front of me, all right, so I'm good. Not offsides. Christmas. Man, I love the Christmas season. I love so much about it. I love all, don't lose sight of the big picture. If you weren't at the Cantata last Sunday night, four precious adult souls got born into the family of God last Sunday night. After the cantata was over, you know, we had a little bit of preaching afterwards. Four people came to Christ. Glory to God. Man, don't stop singing. Last night, some of us went caroling. I know it's busy. And I didn't really want to go at the last minute. I just like everybody else. We all kind of felt the same way, but we all went, and was my heart blessed. People wept while we were singing. I don't think it was because of our singing. I hope not. I hope not. We got to be a blessing to people. Man, I tell you, what a privilege. And it didn't sound half that bad either. I mean, the actual caroling. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody's busy. Let's not forget to magnify Christ. At the end of this message, I'm going to preach a little bit through Luke in chapter 2. And when I get to the end of the preaching, I came across something this week I want to share with you. And it's actually five things. I'll just share four. Four things. Dr. John R. Rice's recipe for a successful Christmas. I'm going to kind of give that to you at the end. Dr. John R. Rice is in heaven. He's been in heaven since the 80s. He was the original editor of the Sword of the Lord, the 20th century's mightiest pen. That's what he's known for. Just a great man of God. And I'm going to give you those things right at the end of the message. Let's dwell just for a few moments on Christmas this morning. And please, there was an old preacher that used to say this, and I wrote it down. He used to say this all the time. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. I want to say that again. I want it to sink in. Because we got a world full of entertainment. It could be music, it could be sports, it could be clothing, it could be whatever it is. But understand this, and the old preacher, he's been in heaven a long time now, but I used to hear him say this all the time. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for real joy. This morning, I want to preach on real joy. I want to tell you who Jesus is. I want to tell you what happened 2,000 years ago and what we call the incarnation, the first Christmas. The only Christmas, when God the Son took on the form of man and visited this earth for all of mankind. Everything else is trinkets. Everything else is insignificant. As a little boy, I used to think Christmas was about getting gifts. And I got a lot of gifts when I was growing up. And it isn't hard for me to recollect. It isn't hard for me to go back to the first house that I remember when we lived on M129 over here north of Pickford. And then when we lived up on Chunk Road up there. Those are some of the most precious Christmases I can remember. It was just everything about it was Christmas as far as the outward trappings. We didn't know Christ. Remember when they used to have 24 shopping days till Christmas and 23 shopping days till Christmas? Used to see it on CJIC out of Canada, and then 9 and 10, 22 shopping days till Christmas. Big buildup. And you get to Christmas morning and you run downstairs and you open your present, and before the morning was done, it was empty. It was like, man, is that all there was? I got a toboggan. I got hockey skates. I can remember getting a bicycle. I can remember, that was the best gift I ever got. No, the best gift I ever got was a 500-piece soldier set, General Patton's Army, and Rommel. And I used to fight wars all over the household there in Chunk Road. But you know what? I'd lose soldiers. The dog would chew off some of their heads. things would be gone. They're here and they're gone. And it just, there has to be more to Christmas than entertainment, more to life than entertainment. There is. There's real joy. Joy to the world. The Savior's come. He has come. Luke in chapter 2. I've got 6 points here. I'll make them as quickly as I can, but it's the Christmas story. Please follow along with me if you can. And it came to pass, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, and none of this happened by accident. Verse 1 speaks of in those days, in Bethlehem. Not the city of 50,000 people like today. It was a small village. There was no room for them in the inn. And they were put, Jesus was born and laid in a manger. And the Greek word kataluma speaks of the barn is nothing more than an enclosure. Perhaps all it was a roof over their head. And it wasn't a little wooden manger. It was more likely a rock that was hollowed out. And there were animals there. And you talk about being unsanitary. That would have been it. And a king was born and placed in that manger. The king of all the earth. The king of all the universe. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I would tell you this morning, those swaddling clothes became robes of righteousness. And it's the robes of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that is given to every sinner who will repent of their sin, and they'll be able to go to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. But let me read on. Here's the setting. This small hamlet, this Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Not a city. No magistrates there. And to be taxed with Mary, verse 5, his espoused wife being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Hey, let me say something else about swaddling clothes. We've got this 21st century thinking that swaddling clothes, that's the blanket that you wrap up a baby and kind of hold them tight together and secure, and you know, like we have in our nurseries today. But that's not what swaddling clothes were. Long strips of cloth. That's what you wrapped a body in when you buried the body. Jesus was born to die. That was a sign. They told the shepherds, you'll find the babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Man, that'd stick out to their mind. Swaddling clothes. Jesus came for sinners. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Not a nice little sanitary crib. A manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. His arrival. The Son of God. Unmistakable sign. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Would you hold your hand here and turn back to Isaiah and chapter 7 and verse 14. 400 messianic prophecies are fulfilled in this baby boy. This baby, God the Son, coming to this earth. Some of them fulfilled in the very place he was born and the very way he was born and the very clothes that he was wrapped in. It says in verse 14 of Isaiah and chapter 14, hundreds of years before Jesus coming to Bethlehem. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's a sign. Here's a messianic prophecy. A virgin, untouched by man, a virgin will be with child, a supernatural birth. She'll deliver a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. This is Christmas. It isn't about the pretty lights. It's not about me getting what I want. It's not even about the big meal. It's about God in his mercy visiting this earth. God the Father, in his mercy, sending his only begotten Son, knowing he was sending him to a cross, allowing him to be born not in the palace, not in the nicest inn or hotel. You know, not in a hostel, not in a bed and breakfast, in a barn with animals. And you'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Someday I want to hear the story of where those swaddling clothes, how they were provided. I think that'll be interesting. Go back to Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. He's born a king. Look at verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So it's nighttime. They're on the Judean hillside. Bedouin shepherds. They're wanderers. The poorest class of people of the day, working people. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. I think that is probably one of the great understatements of the Word of God. These shepherd men, an angel appears before them, the sky lights up, and they are very, very afraid. Read on. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Listen, if an angel were to stand in our presence today in the glory of heaven, we would all drop like dead men and dead women. I mean, we would fall flat on our face. So the angel, his words are to the shepherds, fear not. I'm sure they were words of comfort and words of authority. Don't be afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Man, that's good news for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I circled the word all in verse 10, and I underlined the word Savior in verse 11, which is Christ. That's Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. So the angel says to these shepherds, fear not, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, it's for the whole world. Unto you in the city of David, unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They understood. The promised one. The Messiah. Let's read on. Verse 9. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, and in the Tim Rader Study Bible, and the notes I've made here, I wrote behind, above the word suddenly, the letters P-O-W. That's Greek. It's pronounced pow. It means it's quick. It happens all that quick. It's not really Greek, all right? I know some of you are following me a little bit too close there, all right? I wrote pow, like Batman and Robin, all right? It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, and there's a whole generation here that has no idea what I'm talking about when I say pow, like Batman and Robin, all right? I know, I understand. I'm thinking of the old sitcom pow, Zowie, you know, that kind of thing, all right? Pow, all right? Suddenly there was with the angel, that's Bible preaching, I got to explain everything. Yeah. And there was with the angel a multitude, bang, like that, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So here's what happened. The shepherds are minding their own business, kind of sleepy. Some of them are dozed off. There's just one or two awake. Who knows, you know, because the rest, maybe they're doing a shift kind of thing. All of a sudden, an angel appears. The sky lights up. And the angel, they fall like, don't be afraid. Fear not. I bring you glad good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Messiah, the promised one. Hey guys, wake up. Maybe they woke up with the commotion of the angel all by itself. And then pow, zowie, the whole sky lights up with the heavenly host, with all of the angels of God. And they sing forth glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shed, and this, by the way, this is a night of celebration. Israel has been waiting for the Messiah. He's born in a manger, placed in a manger. He's in a barn, in a little hamlet, a little village. He's there in Bethlehem, the city of David. He's not in the palace. And the announcement is given to shepherds, not royalty. It came to pass as the angels were gone. They probably kind of shook themselves. Man, did that just happen? And we're gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, what are we waiting for? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This message is from God. You guys understand, those were angels. Yeah, we know. He said he's in the city of David in Bethlehem. Let's go. So they get themselves together. And in obedience, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste. They were obedient. Circle this thought in your mind. The Son of God is not someone to be trifled with. Too many of us, I think we all of us at some time or another, some people have a whole lifestyle of God in second place in their life. And they would be the last to admit it. That's a problem. That's called self-deception. Jesus, when the shepherds got the message with haste, they obeyed. They didn't talk amongst themselves and say, you go first, come back, let us know if it's real. Let's not get too excited. That's not how it worked. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Who's the they? All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know what that tells me? Everybody the shepherds met. Hey, did you hear the news? He's come. The Son of God. The Savior. He's right here in Bethlehem. God is right here in Bethlehem. The promised one. Everyone they met. It says they. When the shepherds told them. Let me read the verse again. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them, saying this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And they didn't just tell it one time. Told abroad. They were telling everybody. Those shepherds' lives were changed from that moment on. They were ambassadors. They were messengers. They were telling everybody about Jesus. We'll come back to that thought in just a moment. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There was an investigation by the shepherds after the visitation from God. The Magi later on, the wise men, as much as 2 years later, from Persia and parts west, traveled in a caravan, a great caravan, with no doubt military escort carrying great riches. And they traveled to find the Christ child. They saw the star as was prophesied. And they came and worshiped him. We're not going to read that this morning. The wise men, the magi, worshiped him. There was hardship involved in their travel. They gave precious gifts. And they worshiped him. Obedience. 19 and 20, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's our part. That's our part. When I was a little boy going to the Presbyterian Church, every year, I was part of the Christmas play, like you'll see tonight. Every year. Mom and Dad weren't faithful to church, but they made sure we got there for that, all right? And we were just faithful enough that we had to be, and they were always short of little boys, so I got one of the big parts. I was either one of the shepherds or the star. 1 year, I got to be the star. I guess because I was so good at being one of the shepherds. One of the last parts I ever played was I got to be the star. When I was a shepherd, never had a speaking part. They would never trust me with something like that. never had a speaking part, but when the star would or the angels would come, I as a shepherd, my part was this. Now, those of you that are going to be shepherds tonight, you might want to pick up on this because this is what you're supposed to do. I know it. You're supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do tonight, all right? One of the shepherds. Later on, I got a little bit older, and I got to be the star. I got to wear that star like somebody's going to wear tonight because I saw the costume. And I just got to stand up there and shine. And I was the star of the show is what I was, right? And there'll be somebody like that here this evening. What we are supposed to do is like the shepherds did. We are to glorify and praise our God. I'm almost through. Look what it says in verse 20. And the shepherds returned after seeing Jesus, glorifying. This morning the choir sang a number out of the cantata called Magnify the Lord. Last Sunday morning I preached a message and it was really all about magnifying Christ because that's what Christmas is all about. If you were to boil your whole life down, after you get saved, after you hear the gospel and you get born again, the only reason you're still alive on this earth, one purpose, magnify Jesus. One purpose, glorify Christ. That's it. No. I'm going to make money. You're a fool. You're going to get to the end of your life, and your whole life will have slipped through your fingers. You'll have children born to you. They won't serve God. I mean, some of them will serve God. Some of them won't. Maybe none of them will serve God. Maybe some of them will laugh at God. You're a whole fool if you get born again, because you have responsibility when you get born again, and then you do not magnify with your life. You do not glorify God. You do anything less than that. We talked about that in Sunday school. We talked about that. There are people that God gives platforms to, and they get to the top and they forget God. And they never give him any glory. And when they do, they kind of cower in the corner and they do it hesitantly. That is fraud. That's spiritual fraud when God gives you a platform and you don't use it for him. You like your name in the paper, you like to be in bright lights, and you like people to pat you on the back, you like to get the big paycheck, and you leave God out after you're born again, and you leave God out after all he's done for you? Spiritual fraud. That's what that is. My job is to glorify God. Look at the verse. And the shepherds returned glorifying. Glorifying. You know what they were telling people? Jesus is God. He is deity. He's the only Savior. He's all there is. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm it. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the living water. I am that I am. We're to glorify God. I'm to live my whole life. As a preacher, you're to live your whole life, no matter what your occupation is, exalting Jesus. And if at some point in your job or in your earthly walk, you are not exalting Jesus, repent. Repent. They're glorifying God. This whole county, this whole peninsula, this whole state, this whole world needs to hear from my lips, Jesus is God. He's the only Savior. He is deity. He's the one that paid the price for our sin. The shepherds were doing that. They were glorifying God and praising him, verse 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. By the way, maybe you're middle-aged and you've made a lot of money already and you're thinking, man, that's why my life is empty, isn't it? Yes. That's why everything's so elusive, isn't it? Yes. Because entertainment, cheap entertainment, that is the devil's counterfeit for joy. And the entertainment's elusive. I am not all about sports. I am not. I can turn a game off real easy. You name any team, I can turn it off real easy. That's entertainment. That's not what my life is about. Man, we're the colors of Christ. You know our family's football, right? So I'll use my grandkids as an illustration here. Funniest thing happened last night at the Christmas party. Trig, what kind of fan are you? Trig, Eagles? Oh, that's what it was, Philadelphia Eagles. Somebody got the gifts messed up, and He got a jersey, but it was the Seattle Seahawks. He'd always, his first, we exchanged presents. The first present he exchanged, everybody's getting real nice gifts. He got lumps of coal, candy coal. And I know what he was thinking as a little boy. Ha ha, that's funny. That's funny, yeah. And so the second go around, we had two gifts. Second go around, he opens it up, and this guy's Philadelphia Eagles through and through. He opens it up, and it's a Seattle Seahawks jersey. You should have seen his face. It was just like it was, what happened to Christmas? You know, it's all gone. And Caden is a Seattle Seahawks fan, and you should have seen his face. He was across the living room. He's thinking, he got a Seattle Seahawks. And, well anyway, they're the wrong name on the wrong gift, that kind of thing. They're all excited about wearing their team's colors. What about wearing the colors of Jesus Christ? What about, man, what about really making your life about Christ? Dr. John R. Rice, I'll turn back a page because I've got it right here. This is his recipe for having the best Christmas you've ever had. I say amen. Dr. Rice has been in heaven now for quite a few years. Time is slipping away. Number one, you might want to write these down. During this Christmas season, make much of the scriptures. Memorize Micah 5:2. You read it this morning. Isaiah 7:14. Become familiar with Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. Make much of the scriptures. Number two, sing of the Savior. Joy to the world. O little town of Bethlehem. Silent night. Sing. I think the best gift I've gotten for Christmas, I don't think it'll be surpassed, is last night when we sang at the hospice in Pickford. We caroled, and people wept. And we got to Silent Night, and it's like God put our voices together, and it was a beautiful choir. I wasn't impressed with us, but I was impressed with how it was sounding. I was thinking, while I was singing, I was thinking, hey, this sounds pretty good in here. You know, the acoustics and everything, and old people were weeping, and what a privilege. Entertainment, cheap substitute for joy. Christ, that's joy. Sing this Christmas. Number three, make it a time of consecration. You won't do that at Walmart. I was at Walmart yesterday. I've never seen so many people in one building in the Upper Peninsula. Busy, everybody doing something different in my life. Even my little secret checkout there in the back where I go back to where the lawn and garden is and nobody's ever there. They were lined all the way up to the doors going into from not the outside, but from the inside. Meijer's just as busy. I don't want to leave them out. I'm just saying, I know it's a busy time of year, but make it a time of consecration where you surrender to God. And then like the wise men, he said, make much of the scriptures, sing, make it a time of consecration and surrender, make gifts like the wise men did to God's work. It is good to give. It is a privilege to help in the cause of the gospel. It is.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.